Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and joining me today is a whole host of people because, well, you may understand why in a minute, but yeah, firstly, we'll go to Greg. Long time no see, man.
G'day, mate. Yeah, it's been ages. Had to get on today after the disaster of this morning and vent and give my thoughts and hear everyone else's thoughts and yeah, to get out of the system.
Yep, Nico, you're here as well. Feeling just as bad as I did, and slept barely as much either as well.
And devastated is an understatement. This is the lowest of the low watching this team. It really is, from in my eyes at least, this is worse than Costa Rica 2014. And I'll get onto that later and the reasons I think why. But this is, you'd rather lose a game in 90 minutes by a few goals than go out like this.
Yeah, and Michael, you're here too. You share our thoughts and our it's devastation.
And as I said to Stephen, the Twitter space, I did not sleep at all. I was up for 20 hours straight and going until I slept 8 o'clock in the morning. And I think you boys know my situation. I've moved house. Yeah, it's been tough. And then I have to watch that rubbish that I saw in the morning. That was even more tough. My eyes just couldn't take it anymore. We're going to get into it. And last thing before we go into it, Greek football, the gift that keeps on giving. And we got one big fucking butzo from Georgia.
Yeah, Georgia dealt us a big gift last night, so we'll go straight into it. Obviously, playoff final for the European Championships to decide whether we reach the tournament in Germany. Play Georgia at in Tbilisi. Tough atmosphere, good crowd. And obviously, we all know what happened. 90 minutes, no shots on target for the Ethne Gi. Had a couple of half chances. They did well to quash us. We did well to quash their attack. Kvaratskhelia did basically nothing the entire game. He went off injured in extra time. And so, yeah, extra time happened. We started to be a bit more expansive. We missed a couple of huge opportunities, particularly Mavrobanus's header, which cannoned off the crossbar. Masuras, that he should have squared it, shouldn't have tried to head. Oh, sorry, should have taken it with his feet, shouldn't have tried to header it. And Bakayete's shot that was saved as well. And then it goes to penalties. Georgia, being at home and getting the toss to go first, is a huge advantage for them, obviously. Statistically, it's proven to be so. They score their first penalty. Bakayete steps up, not having missed a penalty in five, and misses hit the first penalty. And then after we level it again and they miss, Jakub Magi steps up, misses a penalty. They score their winning penalty. They get their first ever entrance into a major tournament in their history. Meanwhile, Greece, 10 years and counting, it still hurts. I still feel like shit. And so, boys, we spoke a lot about this on the space. Obviously, we did a space last night. Apologies that it's not up for you guys to listen to. I pressed the record button for it to be saved. Didn't save. So thank you, technology. But yeah, it's a hugely disappointing night and one of the worst in recent memory for the national team because we were so close. That's what hurts the most, I think. We were so close, and multiple things kind of contributed to us not being at Euro 2024, where it felt like it was written, 20 years since Euro 2004, the group that we had with loads of our rivals in, Turkey, Portugal, Czech Republic, would have been a really fun tournament. Even if we'd got knocked out in the group stages with three losses, it still would have been interesting, but not to be. We're the only reason we're going to Germany this year is because we play them in a friendly just before the tournament. So, boys, one at a time, give me your thoughts on this game and the repercussions, because Poyet is more or less gone, barring Ebo handing him a new contract for successfully failing to qualify for the Euros.
I guess I'll go first. I guess, total devastation. I mean, we've like you mentioned before, Stephen, we've had some heartache in the last few years, but we've never ever really been this close to going to a major tournament. But going out to a team, and I mean this in all due respect, a team at the capacity and the capabilities of Georgia, it was always going to be tough there. And we've never comfortably beaten them there. We have always beaten them there, but it's always been late goals. But today's game was, you know, I think we're all nervous about it. I feel like at the start of the game, we saw some signs where we might be able to do something. But then the first half started to remind me of the game at Toowoomba. They were just constantly running at us and giving us problems. And we're trying to do these. The counter-attack, there was just no counter-attack. It was just long balls to Ioannidis to try to get him to run onto him. If he got to it, he caused chaos. But that was generally it. Second half was definitely better. But this is the problem with I've always had with Poirier. He never really has that plan B. And I think he even said it the other day. He doesn't generally work with a plan B, and he needed a plan B there. There was some of the players where I thought Tsimikas was pretty poor. Bakasetas went absolutely missing for me in this game. Like, I've always worried about Bakasetas with the big games. He's a good player. They definitely get you wins in the, you know, kind of the UEFA Conference League style of games. But when it comes to these big games, I always find he's not a runner enough to cause the opposition a lot of problems. And I felt like this game sort of saw that. He had a poor game in general. He's never usually this quiet. The field was very slippery. Players were falling over a fair bit. And every time we got a chance to get an opportunity to do something just outside the box, our players kept slipping. There was tiredness. I think Masuras was clearly tired by the second half. He was gassed. But due to Poirier picking his favourites, he's handicapped himself and us and everyone from actually putting some decent subs out there as well. So you couldn't get a Zorlis out there to go out there and take Masuras' spot. He was completely gassed. And I would say Zorlis because he's a guy that even in his early days in the ethnic, he was doing fine. He's a guy that can finish. He's a guy that can run. He's doing wonders at his club. And he's a guy that I trust. So it would have been good to have that option. He picked him in the squad, but he didn't put him on the bench. That's just ridiculous. And our other option there was Kadziovannis, which for me is a very subpar option, which he didn't even go to. Yeah, look, shocking. Just so disappointing to... I mean, I think I mentioned in the chat, what would we have done at a Euro if we went under Poirier? I don't know, because in the big games of Poirier, these type of teams, I mean, this type of occasion, Georgia is a team we should be beating, but the occasion was maybe too much for a lot of these guys who are a generation who just hasn't been able to achieve anything great in terms of qualification. And this was the biggest opportunity they had to do that. And unfortunately, we failed. We hardly created and troubled their keeper, as you mentioned. And we devastatingly go out to penalties to Georgia. And the penalties, like you said, man, Bakasetas, who generally always scores, he had his penalty saved. And the other guy who was really disappointing for me, again, I know Ioannidis was gassed, so he had to get subbed off. So he put on Yakoumakis, and the typical tale of put the ethnic gear jersey on and you become an absolute dud. He had a shocking game, and his penalty was just woeful. And you know, I know penalties are tough, but get it on bloody target. Just terrible, man, terrible. Look at the goals he's scoring at club level, and he can't do anything at the ethnic gear. So I was totally devastated. Whole bunch of factors. For me, Tsimikas, Bakasetas, there's probably Yakoumakis, were very poor. There was only a very few of the team that really did something to merit anything. But overall, incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, and obviously now is the time to kind of reflect on what happens next, because I think a lot of people maybe not expect there wasn't an expectation of we are the outright favourites of this game. We're definitely going to go through these playoffs and smash everyone and be out and be at the tournament. But you know, we understood that it was going to be hard to face Georgia, but yeah, to go out in that fashion, I think just hurts even that much more. And a lot of people said it's shadows of. Shadows of Costa Rica in 2014. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And you were saying, Nico, about Costa Rica. I mean, I think it hurts more too, because at least in Costa Rica, we were at a major tournament, you know.
And this in Costa Rica are a better team than Georgia.
Yes, that Costa Rica team was better.
Let's call a spade a spade. Georgia, we knew how they were going to come at us. The way they played, did it shock you guys? Their tactics, it didn't shock me in the slightest. We knew what was coming. from them. That we played them fairly recently, and we knew the game plan for them was going to be find your main man, which was what they were trying to do, give him the ball, which at times they had better passing options that they didn't take. They were just trying to find him at every chance they got. And our attempts to stop him, it worked, but was it the right thing to do to constantly hack him? And then you run the risk of you got to be cautious picking up early yellows. You know what I mean? Mm. My thoughts on the game, we were talking in our last podcast about the lineup, and the one change we were sort of thinking, if you recall, was Siopis to come in to start. In hindsight, he should have been the one that started.
I agree.
Because when he came on, he made a difference. For me, I know Greg mentioned about Tsimikas, and I agree, Tsimikas, woeful. I lost count of how many times. Defensively, he was okay, but didn't really put a foot wrong defensively. But when he's going forward, it was constantly either going out or straight into the keeper's arms. He just didn't have his crossing boots on at all. But for me, where the real damage was done in this game was the midfield trio. Kurbelis, Bakasetas, Mandalos. Georgia just swarmed us, especially in that first half. The second balls that we're getting against Kazakhstan, we weren't getting on this occasion. And that, for me, that's where the damage was done. I said an early goal would have been crucial. That didn't come. And he reacted too slow with Siopis, really, in hindsight. With Bakasetas, yes, not his best game. What I should do, though, is send you guys his heat map. I think it's more down to coaching, if anything, with Bakasetas. Horribly used. If you look at his heat map, you guys will freak out. You guys will freak out with Bakasetas' heat map. Is exclusively locked on the right. He's most effective when he's in the middle. He barely ventured into the middle. So you lost one of your main attacking outlets right there on the spot. For me, that's on the coach. Ioannidis was fighting a losing battle, 1-3. Three of their center backs. Masuras, quiet game. And again, that stems to the midfield not being able to win their battles and get the ball to him. We're at our best when Masuras is getting involved, and his involvements, especially in that first half, were limited. Second half, better, but we just didn't. The longer that went on at nil, all the more it suited them. You could tell they practiced for penalties. And I was starting to get worried as soon as it went nil all after 90 minutes. We all sort of, I think it was George in the group chat. He said, guys, I don't like the way this is heading. And I think deep down, we all knew the way it was going. Crucially, as you said, they win the toss to go first in the penalty shootout. And that first penalty of theirs was brilliant. Like with Vimos or anyone else, no keeper saves that. Brilliant penalty. That sets the tone when you compare it to our first penalty. We started playing, but it was too late. We, like the 110th minute, 105th minute onwards, whatever it was. Okay, it's a game of inches and all that. Mavropanos should have, would have, but you're playing against fucking Georgia. You're not playing against France or Spain or Portugal or Italy or Germany. You're playing against Georgia in a one-off game. Attack them. We knew their game plan. They didn't. There was no surprises from them. And we didn't lay a glove on him. That's the worst part. To not have a single shot on target in the first 90 minutes. This is a golden opportunity. Pissed up the wall, as we said. We're never going to get an opportunity as good as this handed to us. Yes, it was our good work in the Nations League to get to this stage. Elaine mentioned in the spaces how crucial it is to get second in the next World Cup, in the next Nations League for the World Cup. But we're going to be in League B. Don't think we're going to be playing teams like Georgia in League B. It's going to be a different standard again. That's what scares me. This is a golden chance, pissed up the wall. And for me now, it's a generation of players you got to say goodbye to. I've been calling them the failed generation for a long time now. They failed us yet again tonight. Most of the blame, though, goes towards the coach. I'd say 80-85% on the coach and the 10-15% on the players. Because that's fundamentally, that's shocking, to not lay a glove on them inside the 90 minutes.
And I guess, Michael, that kind of brings us to Gus Poyet. So we've been saying it this whole time, ever since we found out when his contract was ending and it was winding down. It's going to end on the 31st of March, so in about 5 days' time. This was his opportunity to get his contract extended, essentially, not just to get Greece to the Euros, but it was quite a simple task in that regard. get us to the European Championships. You will get a new contract. You will be the manager to take us to Germany. And that hasn't happened. So, I mean, I made my opinion clear in the space. You know, I've not been anti-Poyet this whole time in regards to, I understand his shortcomings, but I also thought that he was getting some good football out of us when at times, but clearly not when it mattered, as we saw last night. So is Poyet gone, quite simply, Michael? Is he gone?
I would think so, yes. I think he's predicted in his press conferences recently, because he did say a while back, if I qualify for the Euro, I'll sit down with Epo, be rewarded a new contract, and take this team to the World Cup. And if I don't, well, I don't. I don't achieve my goal, and I'm out of here. So those were some of the words that he said in a recent press conference. So he's just predicted himself. And with this international break, he set himself up for failure. From the moment that he chose certain players, two of them specifically, that retired in the November international break last year. What the hell were they doing here? God knows what. I don't know. And a few other players that didn't make sense either. Another alarm bell was the fourth keeper. Like, I don't know who was the fourth keeper. Was Viudis or Athanasiadis? I don't really care, to be honest. That's a waste of space. Another one was choosing the same lineup that beat Kazakhstan 5-0. That is running the risk of running every player to the ground and you run out of options. And he said in the press conference after Georgia that he had injuries to deal with. Well, hang on. You're the fucking coach. Sort it out. Where was your plan B, plan C, and plan D? If you knew you had your injuries, where was your depth? There was no depth for certain positions, especially for the left back. Paul Tsimikas, yes, we agree. I do agree he had a poor game. But my word, how much running does he have to do? Playing 180-plus minutes across two games. That is unacceptable for me. And now, okay, the benefit for him now is that Robertson is now off injured from his Scotland game, so he's going to get more game time, Tsimikas, at Liverpool. But aside from that, he was the one left back that we had in this international break. You're running the risk of running into the ground, and there was other players as well that ran themselves into the ground too. No plan B, plan C, plan D, as we've mentioned plenty of times here on the podcast from Poyet. He set himself up for failure, and it showed against this display against Georgia. This is probably his worst display of all in his time in Greece. It doesn't warrant a new contract. And he said in his press conference, he's got 5 days left. March 31st, his contract ends up. Don't give him another one. He can go back to Uruguay. I don't care anymore about him. He didn't achieve his goal. That's it. That's that. That's the story.
And I mean, judging from what I'm hearing, Republic of Ireland is still waiting for a decision on a manager. And I think that manager is probably Gus Poyet. I think they were waiting to see if he took them to the European Championships. And then it'll be ironic because we then play Republic of Ireland again in Nations League Group B, where with a potentially new manager, we'll be facing him to try and get at least second in that group. Which, I mean, but judging Ireland's quality and how we played against them under Gus Poyet, I would imagine it wouldn't be that much different with a different manager, depending.
There wouldn't be anything sweeter than having that game and having Fortunis and Jolly start for Greece and one of them getting a winner or two.
Yeah, and those are the big game players that you need in the squad. I've said this from the beginning, if you don't have them in your squad, you're not ever going to get the chance to use them. And I guess Zolis was in the squad, but why didn't he have them in, at least on the bench, to have him as a second option? And Michael, you said it, I've been saying it since the beginning, Gus Poyet did not have a plan B, C or D because he felt like his plan A was good enough. And it was good enough against Kazakhstan, where we didn't need a plan
B. That was a smokescreen.
Yeah.
That was a smokescreen, that result. Like,
didn't matter.
It got himself so cocky. So he stuck with the same recipe and it blew up.
It's come back to bite him. And once again, we are the onlookers and have given another national team their chance in the limelight. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be too kind of critical of Georgia. It's not like we just handed it to them. In some senses we did, but fair play to Georgia. You know, they wanted it more. They wanted their debut into a major tournament more than Greece wanted to end 10 years of not being at any major tournament since the World Cup in 2014. So fair play to them. They fully deserve to be there because we didn't beat them. And penalties is a hard thing to get through. But at the end of the day, set yourself up to not play for penalties, or at least prepare for a penalty shootout, which is what Georgia did. And we clearly didn't.
They carried an attacking threat for more of the 90 minutes, especially more than us as well. And their penalties, that you could tell they trained for penalties. They wanted penalties. They were confident in them, and they dispatched them brilliantly compared to us. What I'm trying to say is they executed their game plan perfectly, whereas we didn't. And that midfield battle I spoke about, the second balls, they owned it.
Yeah, and they clearly had they had a plan A, B, C, and D, because plan A clearly wasn't penalties. They wanted to try and beat us in 90 minutes too, but they knew if they had to fall back on it, they had to be ready for penalties.
Not that it was a plan B. I think he's not panicked, but the decision not to have Zolis there, it's sort of, he threw Constantelias on and it was get the ball to Constantelias, see what he can do. But the poor guy was, he's the only one, we were getting the ball to him and he could beat one, beat two, and he was doing that. Then he's looking up and he had no one to give it to or to cross. We're playing bloody, it's a one-off game. Don't go to bloody penalties. Flood the box with bodies. We didn't do that. So yeah, he was forced to either go backwards.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That just pissed me off so much that you mentioned that now, Nick. How many times have we worked our way in for a cross and we just had one striker in there surrounded by four or three defenders, Georgian defenders.
Three centre-backs and their giants. Tall centre-backs that are strong in the air against one. And I noticed later in the game, you could see Boyer. I took it as him instructing our guys to stay deep. Don't commit bodies forward. I took that as we're playing for penalties as well. But if we're playing for penalties, why are you taking off arguably your best penalty taker in your Ioannidis? Nothing makes sense. Nothing.
What I think he could have done, and look, I know I'm bringing Olympiakos into this. I'm not going to compare it in that with too much in that regard. But what I've noticed with Mendilibar is when we need a goal, and when what has succeeded is when he brings on another striker to join El Kabi, he'll bring on Jovetic, and then after that he'll bring on El Arabi, and that's
Brim,
and that's why we put more bodies in the box and gives us a better opportunity to score. And we did that, and that's how we beat Maccabi Tel Aviv in the Europa Conference League. That's a big example there. So for Poyet to not do that, and he has three strikers at his disposal, and I know Yakomakis and Bavlidis have not played well for the Ethniki, despite the fact they've been excellent for their clubs. But bring someone on to play alongside Ioannidis, or put them together and then just overload the box, like you guys have been saying. I think that even if it doesn't work, at least that shows he's trying and knows what he needs to do to try and get a goal and not wait for penalties. Don't take the game out of your hands when you go to a penalty shootout. But yeah, and as we've all been saying, a lot of reports have been saying that he won't be Greece manager after the 31st. Yeah. And I mean,
Sport24 have said the same thing, and Gazeta, so they're all pretty much saying it now.
Yep. And we put a poll out about 16 hours ago saying to let people vote on who they think should be the next manager of Greece. The top three choices that Elaine always put is Georges Sampaoli, Pablo Garcia, Ivan Jovanovic. Might be none of them. It might be one of them. We'll have to see, won't we? And I think I read an article as well that I don't know if it was Gazeta or Sport 24, but they made an interesting point that with the elections coming up soon for the Greek Football Federation in the summer, might not come so soon the new manager, because they might wait to see who gets voted in before they bring a new manager in, or they bring a new manager in and then the new if someone comes in who's a new president of the Greek Football Federation, they might not like
the thing is Steve, we have a friendly with Germany in June, so they will need a coach ASAP.
Yeah,
not Poyet.
No, and I don't think Poyet will be there. I mean, let's just say hypothetically, of the three that we chose for the poll, Sampaoli, Garcia and Jovanovic, who would you guys have? Because we had this conversation on the space as well.
You know who I want.
I mean, Garcia's not going to happen. Let's face it. So it's pretty, I'm pretty sure it's going to be. I mean, my favorite is Jovanovic for the job.
It ticks every box of mine, at least. That there's a lack of quality Greek managers around, so that automatically rules any Greek manager out. But the fact that he's experienced within the Greek football landscape and he can speak the language well is the biggest tick. He can unite. He can bring players together. So that's what. Well, you know, what the pro Boyer crowd used to say, that he united the squad. You'll get that in an abundance with Jovanovic, and he can take a group of players that are shot rock bottom and bring them up. And I think for international football, his style of play works better.
Than Michael?
Club football coach, I think, briefly, some with Africa.
Obviously, Jovanovic. We know about his career. His managerial career and his playing career. Again, we've talked about his background in Greek football. It is respectable, and as well as recent with Panathinaikos, I think he's the perfect candidate at the moment for the Ethniki Ομάδα. That is if Epo's smart enough. It could be someone else. We just don't know who that is. I just know Mourinho is available. And knowing Epo, they would go for someone similar to his characteristics.
But the difference
is someone crazy like him.
The difference is that, I mean, if we're talking about Mourinho specifically, he even said recently he'd like to get into international management. That's that potentially his next challenge. But if it, and I know you're not saying that Jose specifically could be the next manager of Greece, but. I mean, Ebor wouldn't fork enough money for him anyway. They wouldn't give how much he's demanding. They're going to want 500k.
A lot of money to play park the bus football, no thanks.
But yeah, we'll have to see. We'll wait for the coming developments of who becomes the next manager of Greece, and whether somehow Gus Poyet is still there after the 31st of March. But like I said, I doubt it. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we leave Greece behind for now?
Other than the fact how shattered I am, not really.
Yeah, I know. I feel you, Nick. I was drinking ouzo in the space, and I don't feel shit because of that. I just did not sleep. I did not sleep last night very well at all.
It burns. This is going to take forever to get over. Costa Rica took a long time. This is going to take longer, arguably longer, to the point where straight away after I sort of calmed down, the first thing I did was look up when we play next, the competitive match again. 8th of September, 4:45 a.m. for us, Finland at home. I'm counting down for that. That's going to be living in my mind now until then.
Yeah. And I you know, I'm bringing Olympiacos up. I've had some bad matches this season and last season, but this is the worst. I didn't think Greece could hurt me again like they did when with Faroe Islands. That was the big one for me that kind of made me lose faith for a while. But this was bad. This was really bad.
I've got a question for the group.
Yes.
Do you guys think had we had Fortunis in the squad, things could have been different?
Maybe.
We'll never know. Possibly.
I would say there would have been a substantial difference in creativity.
But you know what, Greg? I said it in the space. I think the ship has sailed with Fortunis. I don't think he'll ever play for the national team again. Maybe the new coach can convince him otherwise. But I think that he seems like he just wants to focus on his playing career. His club career. And I'm not even saying Olympiacos because he's not signed a new contract with us yet. But
How old is he now? 31, 32?
Yeah. So I think because of the major injuries that he suffered, I reckon that he doesn't want to play too much football to exacerbate that again. Because if he gets another injury like that, that is it. He's in his 30s now. He can't recover as quickly, and he'll never be able to play at a high level if he gets another ACL injury. So I think he's thinking about his fitness, and he's got a young family now. And as much as I would love him to be part of the national team fold again, I can't see it. I don't think he wants it, or at least feels like he can.
We've got to look at the youth.
Yeah.
The only thing that worries me about that is who have we got for the central attack and midfield role going, like, youth-wise?
Costandelias.
Well, I'm not saying flooded. I'm not saying flooded with 20, 21, 22, 23-year-olds. Pick and choose. Like, what I'm, the guys that are 30 and plus, get rid, like Tsimikas, he's not a rookie anymore, but he's still got to be there, for example. Vlachodimos is around that 29, but he's still got to be there. But I'm talking the Kourbelises, Yakoumakis, that's those sort of players. Mm. Belkas, time to move on from those sort of players. Yeah. So you keep some and get rid of some.
Yeah.
Then you put Kouliarakis over Hadzibiakos, that sort of thing. You integrate Vayanidis properly. Those sort of moves. Konstantelias to become a starter, Zolis to become a starter, all that.
Mm. And we briefly looked at this on the space as well. I mean, just off the top of my head, you know, we looked at the goalkeepers. You know, we said Vlachodimos to stay. Baskalakis is doing well for Olympiakos, but he's 34, so I guess that's more up for debate. And Athanasiadis is 30. Diudis is 31.
He should not have been picked for this game. He's in terrible form. I don't know how he got a call up.
Well, Vlachodimos.
No, Athanasiadis.
Oh, Athanasiadis. No, fair enough. And then Baldock's 30.
Sorry, go.
Well, go, Michael.
The others, though, deserved it. The others, though, deserved it, and as well as Barkas. How did Athanasiadis get picked? What was the need? What was the need for a fourth keeper? I still can't get that around my head.
Yeah.
I'm still questioning it, even though it's over. But that is one thing that we're going to look back on and go,
four keepers and one left back.
Why? Yeah, four keepers, one left back. Three right backs. Oh, yeah, three right backs.
That's
more. Seliakas didn't play a single minute.
Yeah.
He wasn't even on the
and
bench.
And Seliakas, out of all the right backs picked, is the most in form. Baldock is not in form. He's inconsistent for Sheffield this season, and plus he's come off an injury.
Yeah.
So let's bear that in mind too. So it's really Seliakas, the best right back, didn't even get a minute. Like Zolis, the best winger, best attacker, along with Ioannidis, didn't even play a single minute. So you look at those and you go, what the fuck just happened?
It really begs belief.
Why?
I guess continuing with the squad, I mean, looking at the defenders now, like we said, Baldock's 31, but I think he'll be there for at least one more kind of cycle with the national team. And if we don't qualify for the World Cup, I don't think he'll be there again. Savelas, don't know why he's there. He's 36. He retired. He should have stayed retired. And he got that was the one highlight for me in the game, that he got sent off without playing. That was amazing. He's such a donkey.
There's no better way for Savelas to end his international career than getting red carded when you're on the bench.
Yeah, exactly. Don't
get me started on him, especially his post game statement that he wants Poyet to stay.
Of course he does.
I think I'm missing him, Malaka.
He wants Poyet to stay so he can still keep getting called up to the national team and having a bit of a mini holiday with the boys. You know what I mean? That's why he wants to go. Oh, dear me. Midfield, Bukalakis, Kourbelis, Masuras, Belkas, Bagasetas, all 30. So
that's where the changes have to come.
Yeah. I think the ones I personally keep for now is Bagasetas because he's captain, Masuras because he's still doing well for the ethnic year overall. Belkas, Kourbelis, Bukalakis are maybe up for more debate with you guys. Any thoughts on those three?
To be fair with Kourbelis, out of the midfield trio, he did okay in that Georgia game. At least he tried to do something, but he wasn't the man for the Exarty role. We needed a Siopis for this game.
Siopis was much better, yeah.
Yeah, Kourbelis was not for this game. He probably preferred for Kazakhstan. I would have picked him for Kazakhstan and Siopis for Georgia. You needed a running dog for that midfield, and that was Siopis, and that was clearly missing, and he brought him on later. I know there was critics against Mandalos. He tried to do something, but then again, you see him try to do something, he wants to do something, you get there, and you're waiting for him to do something. Just do something.
Yeah.
Do something. Yeah. Pass. Just do something magical. We don't see that with Fortunis. At least Fortunis was, you know, try and flick the ball over. We don't get that with Mandalo. Mandalo is more conservative.
Mm. And then, well, Mandalos is who was going to I was going to go to next. He's 32, so I think he'll still.
I think he's done.
Really, I think he has one more Mandalo. Cycle. I think if he stays consistent for Ajax, you don't think so? Fair enough.
Nah. He's been on and off for Ajax. Yes, he's getting games under his belt, but I give him the next Nations League campaign, and that's it.
Fair enough.
That's it. Yeah. Look, there are other players there that we've mentioned. Belkas, I want him as just a backup in case anything happens. Decent enough player, but he's not for the wing. And as I mentioned before, with Tsimikas running himself to the ground, it was pretty much him doing all the running because Belkas can't overlap. He's not that type. He's an attacking midfielder, not a winger.
Mm.
And he doesn't have that sort of trait in him. That's why Tsimikas ran himself to the ground and had led him to have a poor game. Simple as that.
Yep. The last midfielder is Zeg, obviously. I have a bit more respect for him than Sabellas, but he shouldn't be part of the ethnic fold. Fair play to him for kind of taking Greek nationality. And when he did step up for us at times, albeit in unsuccessful campaigns, but yeah, Zeka's 35, and I don't think he should be part of the fold anymore. And then looking at the forwards, they're all pretty young. Yakubankis is the oldest at 29.
Steve, the thing with Zeka, he got picked in the November break for the reason being he wanted to retire, and he did that.
Mm.
Along with Zavella. Zavella's retired. He said it straight up. But Zeka, that was his retirement break.
Yeah.
And that was it for the national team. Then we see him picked again. What for? We could have had Galanopoulos there, who I think is injured. I don't know if it's true if he's injured, but if he isn't, I would have picked him. Poya has picked Galanopoulos before. The game against Georgia was screaming for a player like him, screaming for a player like Alexandropoulos as well.
Yeah, I think he's not fully fit either, though, Alexandropoulos. Yeah. He's coming back from injury. But yeah, I think I would have picked those two over Zeka if they'd been available. Sure. And I think maybe Poyet would have as well.
Or even Kourfalidis, the young Kourfalidis guy that's at Cagliari. He's on loan somewhere in Italy. I forgot the club's name. It's some very, very strange name.
It's not Pisa, is it? Is it FC Pisa? Can't remember.
I don't know. It's a very weird name. The other one is Koutsoupias. Unfortunately, he's got an ACL. So that's going to set him back a lot, a young player like him. For the midfield. But look, there's other Greek talent coming up. We've mentioned them in the Super League, Steve. Zouglis in Asteras, Panagidis at Aris. I hope these guys try build their careers and not be left rotten somewhere.
Mm.
So looking at this current squad, Steve, as you're naming them, I'm now worried again.
Yeah, and we also said, you know, with the mess that's going on with the youth teams as well, it's like you can see that there's problems from the very top, and it's filtering down, you know, from EBO to the senior team to the under-21s, the under-19s, etc. It's just a mess, and there's no organisation, you know. Players are getting called up too high up too soon, then the other teams lose out on their talented players. And as I said, may as well have given Zolis to the under-21s because he didn't play a single minute, didn't even get benched for the game against Georgia. He would have made a difference for them in their qualifiers because now they're not going to Euro 2025, the under-21s tournament, because they didn't do well in their last three games. So it's a shame on them as well that Zolis wasn't there. And like I said, I'll just quickly go into the forward line. So they're all below 30. I think they'll all still be called up if they play well enough for their national team. I guess, you know, you only this 24, Bavli this 25, Yakubankis 29, and Zolis being put down as a forward is 22, and Zolis has to be part of the starting lineup of the national team from now, and not just a bench, not just a call up because he's in form. He needs to be part of the main first team. No excuses. He's been our best forward, winger, whatever in for club football this season, and he's not being picked, and that's ridiculous. But there we go. Gus Poyet lives and dies by his decisions. So that's why he's not going to be manager of Greece anymore. It's a shame.
What about Zouzika? Is he not worth a go?
Yeah, Dorigas is. I mean, he's not doing. Oh. I mean, he's in a struggling side, and he's only played 600 minutes, but he scored like I think he scored about 10 goals in that time because he's played.
Yeah, most of them starts. Yeah, for Yakumakis, for instance, into the squad.
Yeah, why not? I think the next manager will get the chance to look at all these players, albeit for one friendly against Germany. Although I imagine that they might organise one more. I wouldn't be surprised if Greece organised one more friendly in June with a team that's also not in the European Championships. And I guess Poyet also leaves the national team with the second best win rate of any national team manager in the history of the Greek national team, behind Fernando Santos and ahead of Otto Rehagel. So I guess if that's anything to go by.
Oh, it's a goodness. Bit skewed.
Yes, and yeah. But it's like with John Van Schip, like he'll show his record with Greece and say, "Look at me, I did what I was supposed to do, but I didn't quite achieve my goals."
And I'm let him. Well, I hope he goes to Ireland. Let him.
Yeah, he can go to Ireland. Go on.
Let him.
He can do what he wants.
Or Plymouth Argyle.
Yes, yeah. I love that. I love that link so much. He was into Plymouth Argyle, and the best part was that news didn't even come from a Plymouth like local journalist. It came from somewhere in Yorkshire, for whatever reason. And Yorkshire, for anyone who knows English geography, Yorkshire's nowhere near where Plymouth is.
Nah.
Oh dear.
But... Do you guys think? And a question for you guys: if we had gotten in, we would have. Because I want to make the major tournament and not just make up the numbers. Would we have been competitive? Would we have gotten even third in that group? Looking at that performance.
In my opinion, under Poyet, no.
Poyet, I'm saying if we won on penalties, instead, let's say Yakumakis, Bakasetas convert their penalties and Poyet takes us there. What do you guys think? That's what I'm saying.
Like I said in the group, I think we're in for a bit of disappointment with Poyet. Because, again, it goes back to the plan A. And that's it.
I guess I would say is he got us there and that's it. Doesn't matter what position we finish in that group.
It would have papered over cracks is what I'm saying.
But then at the same time, it raises the stock of all the players and him as well. So I think if we got knocked out of and lost all three games, I think just to be there really raises the stock and profile of the players, and it gives them the experience to at least bloody be there. Because now, once again, we're not there, and it's another generation who don't know how to qualify. But as I said in the space, I think I hope that they take this loss and this defeat and use it as experience for the next time they get this opportunity, if we get another opportunity like this, because they don't come often, as you said.
They fell at this hurdle this time 4 years ago.
Yeah.
For Euro 2020, or even though it was played in 2021, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
It hasn't registered. It hasn't sunk in. I was so looking forward. I was banking to us on being there. It hasn't sunk in fully yet that we're not going to be there.
Yeah,
it's devastating. Words don't do it justice. Shattered, devastating. They don't do it justice, really.
No. Oh dear, boys. Well. Is there any final thoughts before we move on?
Bring on the next manager.
Yes, fully agree.
Good luck. World Cup playoffs. Sorry,
Nico, say that again.
And this time next year is match day one for World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Good luck to whoever comes in. This corruption.
Yeah. Yes. And Ebo, please make the right choice. Don't pick a third, fourth rate manager again. Please. Steve, just pick someone who's half decent. Please.
Steve, we're talking about Baltakistan here. Once that's over, it'll be the same story.
Well, that's what another thing I wanted to ask. Is there a chance that he gets re-elected in the summer? Or does he leave regardless now?
I think that... If he puts himself up as a candidate again, then yes.
Yeah.
I really hope he doesn't. I don't know who are the potential candidates, but I mean, I don't like Baltakos at all.
Well, look, the fuss about the Greek Cup final just says enough about it and everything else that he's done. So he can piss off for all I care.
But his argument could be that he's made the Super League more competitive, which, in a sense, it has become more competitive, but that's not necessarily down to him. I just think that's down to the clubs actually strengthening and Olympiakos also being pretty bad for the last couple of years as well. But overall, it's become a better competition because everyone else is kind of on a more equal footing now. Not because Baldagos has done anything particularly. Like, the playoffs, like, you know, are still a mixed bag for me, despite the fact it was good last season and probably be good this
season. No, I'll say this, Stephen. I think the playoffs have done been a big part of getting our clubs to all get to another level, but that's been put in there. I didn't think that was Baltacos that did that. That's been in there for a little while.
No, I think it was under the previous...
Speaking of all that, though, the league was postponed for this shit.
Yeah, I know. We said it in the space. The league was postponed so that they get extra time to prepare. Oh, dear me.
I said it back then. Well, why they need to postpone it? Georgia didn't postpone theirs. Kazakhstan didn't postpone theirs.
That's what makes it all the worse, because Greece prioritized it, Ebel prioritized it, and Poet prioritized it, and we fell at the final hurdle. But anyway, boys, that's the international break over. One of the biggest disappointments in recent times for the Greek national team. But what I will say is we really appreciate all the support you guys have given us over the international break, because obviously it being the Greek national team and everyone supporting the same team for once, everyone kind of gets together. It's great for everyone to support like the national team together. And we really, really love the interactions you gave us on the Twitter space, or the X space as it were, on both of them. We loved having a chat with you and actually engaging with you, because that's the whole point of those things. And also all the articles we wrote as well, you know, Alec Macquarie and George and everyone else who wrote things during the international break. They got so much positive feedback. And so we really, really appreciate it, because we just shows we love what we do, and we love giving you guys the best possible content for Greek football in English. So thank you so much for that. Despite the fact that Greece didn't qualify, that's a big positive on our part. And so we thank you so much for that. And with that being
even
said,
the spaces, I loved it.
Yeah, but I loved doing them
this morning and listening and observing onto the other one. Loved everyone's input and interaction on those as well. And the articles were great as well.
Yeah,
just a bloody shame about the result. We're all burning.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm going to be burning for we'll all be burning
until
for a long
the 8th
while.
Of September.
Yeah, but until that day comes, club football is back this weekend, so we have our teams to go off and support, and us will hate each other again until the end of the season.
That's bad.
Yeah, so we'll quickly touch on the Super League before we wrap things up. So the playouts are first on Saturday, the 30th of March. Banzaragos host Asteras Tripolis, Volos host Kifishia, Bassianina host Panathinaikos, and Ofi host Andromedos. So those are the playouts. Won't really go too much into them. Then we go to the playoffs on Sunday, which will be regular Easter Sunday, not Greek Easter Sunday. Panathinaikos host Balk at Leoforos. Aris host Lamia, so battle of the teams that probably won't finish top four. Aikos Olympiagos at Aya Sofia. Boys, going to the playoffs. So, Nico, we'll start with you. Big game at Leoforo.
Massive. And now that's one of the other first things I did was, from the Ethniki disappointment, go look up the next run of fixture. Not, I know who we're playing in that, but the kickoff times. And this one is a 2 a.m. kickoff for us.
Ooh.
But the next day's a public holiday, so we'll see. 2 a.m. is rough. Like, we had it rough this morning, 4 a.m. That one's even rougher, smack bang in the middle of the night. But must win. Got to take, in an ideal world, we take 6 points from our next two games. They're a few days apart. They're both at Leoforos. Worst case, it's got to be four. We can't lose either one of the two games. It's Bulk first, then Ike next. Ideally, it's got to be win-win. Worst case has to be draw-win or win-draw. Anything less than, well, we're already up against it. As it is, in my eyes, we're not the favourite, but we got to go for it now. And guys like Bakasetas and all that, they want to put the disappointment behind them. There's no better way to do so.
Yep, I fully agree on that. So that'll be all the games in the playoffs are big games now. So we'll
they
go to
big.
Yeah,
because if you guys any drop points there, you guys in the title race, it might be over.
Yep, and I've been keeping tabs on Olympiagos. Even over the international break, we beat Mendilibar, has been training us for the AEK game in that period. Had a little bit of a break in between to let the players have a rest. But yeah, it looks like we're going to get Gelson Martins back from injury. Alexandropoulos is close. as well. So a tough game against Ayia Sofia. It will be really tough, I hope. Thankfully, we didn't have too many players away on the international break. We had Baskalakis, who didn't play, and Masuras will be absolutely cooked, but at least we have Pudence and Fortunis, who will probably play ahead of him, and I guess Martins will come on as well. So I think that it's going to be a tough game. We have, like you said, Nico, it's must-win for us as well, must-win for Ajax too.
And that's why I think you'll go there. You'll go there to play.
Yeah, and we have a good really record against Ajax away, weirdly. We do okay against them away from home, but we'll have to see, won't we? We'll have to see. We drew with them in the regular season at Ajax Sofia when we had Diego Martinez. So let's see. Aris Lamia, like I said, it's not really a game that has too much significance on the league itself. But
I guess never know.
Yeah, you never know. Now that I said that, Michael, it will. But it'll be good because, for Aris, because they'll be focusing, I guess they'll primarily be focusing on the Greek Cup final.
Oh, not only that, Steve, in case they don't win the Greek Cup final, they would want to be in a higher position. So this is a must-win game.
Yeah, that's
given
true.
That there's only four European spots. It's only four European spots for the Greek clubs. So you never know if they don't. So they're doing something preemptive here. If they don't win the Greek Cup final, they want to be in a higher position in the playoffs. So they're chasing Olympiacos right now.
Yes.
Can they really catch whoever it is in fourth? You reckon they can?
Oh, yeah. Bloody, it's a fatal four-way. It's a fatal four-way between those clubs. Like, there's not much difference between them. So one or two clubs will be dropping points each round. And that would be to Artis' advantage.
Yeah.
That would be to Artis' advantage.
Yeah.
And going there to play them away is tricky at the best of times.
Yeah. And I guess we'll have to see what Lamia can make of this game as well, because their season's essentially done anyway, and they've lost to they've lost their best player who went to Kazakhstan of all places. So yeah, I don't really know what they have left to play for, but they could just try and upset the apple cart a little bit against other teams, I guess.
Very, very interesting round. We will learn a lot from this upcoming round, let alone the midweek one. The pitch is going to be much better after the midweek one, but this, as you said, you guys have a decent record against Ajax. In recent years, Balk have had a very good record, and they've often performed well against us as well. Very interesting. It's four clubs have it all to play for still, with nine match days left.
Hopefully we see performances from our clubs that help us forget what happened yesterday. I guess we'll finish on Super League 2, Michael. We'll finish it because AL played over the weekend.
I was hoping you wouldn't bring it up.
Well, seeing as the playoffs have happened, we might as well have a talk about them. So we'll go through some of the games. So Makedonidos lost 3-1 to Levadiagos. Ionikos beat Chania 5-1. Kozani beat Kardisa 1-0. Nikivolos 1-1 against AL Larissa. Aeolikos drew 1-1 with Iraklis. Panachaiki lost 1-0 to
Yukta.
That one is so hard to say.
That's your typical Cretan name.
Yeah. And lastly, Iriopoli lost 4-0 to Galithea. So, Michael,
No surprises there.
Galithea is probably one of the favourites to go up. But quick thoughts on your team, Michael?
Missed opportunity. Because it's only first place in each group that gets promoted, and every game counts. And this is a big missed opportunity. So as we talked about, Steve, previously, in a couple episodes ago, the points are halved after the regular season. So the teams going into the playoffs, their points are halved. They go with half their points and margins are reduced. So we were with a 3-point deficit to Levadiakos. Levadiakos won their game. We drew ours, and now it's a 5-point margin. We got some big work to do. I don't know how we're going to do it. It's not over, but it's a big task ahead. As for the relegation playoffs, that'll be interesting because especially the southern group, Olympiacos B and Panathinaikos B are in the relegation zones. it doesn't. They don't get relegated. They can get relegated.
Which would be very interesting to see what would happen with the B teams if they went down to Gamayef Nigir, because it would be very Greek for the owners just to be like, oh, they got relegated. We need to disband them now. I don't know what's going to happen with them.
They won't be disbanded because the leagues now are actually being they're being reformed, and each year it's getting smaller and smaller, the leagues, and which is nice to see. So next year the Super League 2 will have 20 teams or 18, I think. I can't remember the number exactly. Less than now. It won't be I just hope it won't be this split group system and just go with the traditional home and away.
Yeah.
Go back to its original football roots. If we go in the Southern group, Galithea, I think they are the top favourites for promotion, and I think they haven't been in the top division for quite a while. I know they're under a bit of a reformed identity, but they're the same Galithea as we knew back in the day. They just got some new owners from USA, I think.
Yeah.
That are in a hockey team.
Some very nice kits as well they make for Athens Galithea as well. Very nice kits.
Yeah, very similar to Venezia, to Italy's Venezia.
Yes, same designer, I think, if I recall. I think it was a German designer who came up with the kits for Galithea and for Venezia as well. I guess to end things off, boys, we'll go to a story that hasn't broken recently. It was last week. So Panionios have had a proposal submitted for the acquisition by a large digital and technology company. And so that means that with the club expecting to come back to Super League 2 next season, having a good season at the moment in the third division, they will have some big backers, and we could see the return and rise of Panionios from the ashes of and the lower leagues of Greek football after they went down due to financial issues. So Panionios is a very historical club for Greek football, have produced some excellent players over the years. So it's good to see them kind of in better times, and hopefully they'll be back in the Super League one day. We'll see.
Good for them. Yeah, that's good for them. Let's just hope if that goes through the deal, they do all the right things as owners. Don't do any of the other Malakias that we've seen in the past. Just be proper owners. Set a standard for all of Greek football, and just get that club back to where it belongs. And we all respect Panionios as a club. They've always gave it to the big teams, even though they're Athenians. They're based in Athens now. They're actually originally from Smyrna. Nowadays, modern-day Turkey. That's where they're originally from. They are part of the Greek football's history, and that this is where they belong in the top division. Let's just hope they do all the right things.
And I guess to end it on somewhat of a positive, we will leave it there. So thank you very much, guys, for listening. We appreciate that it's been probably been a tough one for you guys to get through considering the circumstances, but we do appreciate you guys listening and the support you've given us, as I said, over the international break, and club football is back. So we'll have something to cheer about, hopefully. If you haven't already, give us a follow on any of our social medias. We're on X, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram. And if someone else wants to get into Greek football and maybe doesn't speak the language or at least very well, send it their way, because all of our content is in English about Greek football. And if you haven't already, recommend the podcast to someone who loves Greek football or just wants to listen to a football podcast in general. Michael, you have something you want to say?
Yeah, lastly, because I know we've forgotten.
Go on.
Chronia pola to all Hellenes around the world.
Yes.
For 25th of March, Greek Independence Day.
Yeah.
That's what these Malakis made us do. They made us even forget that.
Oh, God. Yeah. I forgot about that as well. Oh, blimey. Anyway, as I was saying, leave us a 5-star review if you haven't already, and it gets us up in the charts and it gets more people listening. So, boys, have a lovely evening as best as you can. And we'll catch you next week after the second round of Super League fixtures. We'll catch you guys later.